American Christian, here we are again, episode 36. This is Reverend Pete Cooper coming at you, not really live, but hey, it's another episode. Doc is on assignment today, so we're going to go back into the Azusa Papers, and I want to talk a little bit today about having a desire for more. And I think that as a listener, you're falling into the category of desiring more. What is it that the Lord, Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit has for you? Because certainly there's more. You've seen the evidence of more. You've heard about the evidence of more. But you are finding yourself in a roadblock. And I think that as Christians, we get there. It is part of the walk, of the idea that there's more, but certainly I'm not measuring up as I should, and so therefore it must not be for me. This must be for others, certainly anyone else but me, kind of a thought. So no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, I would say continue to have desire for more of the things of God. That kind of a desire will take you beyond your traditions. It takes you out of your comfort zone, and it takes you into a life communing with Jesus every day. So I say, may the fire of the Holy Spirit continue to burn in you as you pursue Him. Getting to the end of things and realizing that, you know, we have to push through these roadblocks. I'm going to go into the Azusa Street Papers. This is, we're still in September of 1906. And this little article that was written for that day of publication for the newsletter is called No Bottom. We meet many honest souls these days who are under the delusion that they've committed the unpardonable sin. The following incident should be an encouragement to such. A child of God was attacked by the enemy with the suggestion that she was forsaken of God and had committed the unpardonable sin. She was then on a mission field in the South, separated from other Christian workers. And without any apparent cause, the archenemy that tempted our Savior told her that God hated her. The words, quote, God hates you, end quote, seemed to be continually shouted in her ears, and she could not get away from it. She lost her faith and believed the enemy, not knowing his power. The next suggestion was, quote, drown yourself in the river, end quote. She stood looking into the dark water, but the thought of her dear mother made her turn away. She returned to her room and, throwing herself down, fell asleep and dreamed. She seemed to be on a boat on which all the people but herself were rejoicing and praising God, and she heard the captain call out to the pilot, quote, sound the depths and compare it with the love of God, end quote. The depths were sounded. The call came back, quote, no bottom, no bottom, end quote. She woke in an ocean of God's love. All darkness passed, and the cry ringing in her ears, no bottom. For years since then, she's been in gospel work on both sides of the ocean. It further says, a young lady who came into the meeting unsaved went to the altar during the sermon and under deep conviction and was saved in about 5 minutes. Before that evening was over, she was sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost and had the gift of Chinese tongue and was singing in Chinese in her spirit. The mother followed her to the altar and has also been saved, sanctified, and baptized with the Holy Ghost and healed of asthma and heart trouble, which the doctors said was incurable. Interesting, isn't it, Christian? How the enemy wants to come in and play with us and to shout at us and to tell us that God doesn't love us, that we've committed an unpardonable sin. And I want to go back into my own work as a street missionary on the streets of St. Paul in Minneapolis back in the early to mid, well, probably the mid 2000s. And I was called aside by a young man who was experiencing homelessness. He had called me aside one afternoon. We were out and we were setting up for a large meal that we would do every week down across the street from the homeless shelter. And one day in the middle of this, we had been doing this for I don't even know months, and he had become a familiar face. I knew his name. We'll call him John. And John had come up to me and said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I said, well, sure, you know, let's walk over here. We kind of made our way from the crowds of people and went over alongside a building right there. And he says to me, I think that I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I had looked him in the eyes and I said, I don't think that you have. And he says, well, why would you say that? And I said, because you're concerned about it. There's a concern that you have committed the unpardonable sin. And because you have a concern for it, would suggest to me that you had not. And, you know, looking back on this, it was something that I had read prior to meeting up with John that suggested that very thing, that if people think that they've committed an unpardonable sin, it's really tactics from the enemy to cause you to cease and desist, to cause you to desire more, no matter where you are on that journey, on your faith journey, on your spiritual journey, your faith journey with Jesus, no matter where you are on that, the enemy wants to prevent you from desiring more, and by suggesting that you have committed an unpardonable sin, would do just that, would stop you in your tracks. See, one of the things about the enemy is this, is that he never will relent in pursuing you as long as you believe that God is not for you. As soon as you enter into that place that you don't think God's for you, he's doing his work. Because God, I want to tell you that God is for you. And having a desire for more and keep stepping these things out, American Christian, is the way to go. So with that, I want to go back to that story about John. So he thinks that he's committed the unpardonable sin. I said, John, I don't think that that's possible because you're aware of this. So he asked if we could pray for him. And he had called over another friend of mine, David Engman, who was the founder of Breakthrough Ministries at that time, and well, he still is, but he calls us aside, and I call Dave over, and we're going to pray for this guy. So we lay hands on him, and we just begin to pray. Now, I can't give you word for word as to what we prayed over this man, but opening up the door for more and to be restored and to be healed in body, soul, and spirit. And for this man to walk out, because he did say that he was a believer in Jesus Christ, that he believed that Jesus died for his sins. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was resurrected on the third day. Those are all prerequisites. Those are things that, you know, Jesus will bring healing before salvation comes. And that's been something that I've observed over a number of years. So we get done praying for this guy, for John. I don't see John for almost 2 weeks. And within that 2 weeks, 10 days, 2 weeks period, John came back and it comes up to me again. He says, "What did you do to me?" And I said, "John, I didn't do anything to you. What do you mean? What did we do to you?" He says, I was just at the VA, and he's got this piece of paper in his hands, and he's shaking it in front of me. "What did you do to me?" And I said, "John, I didn't do anything. We prayed for you. Why? What is the what's the problem? What's the concern?" He says, "When I was over, when I was stationed over in wherever he was either in, I think he was in Iraq, he had suffered a gunshot wound to the chest that came in and had taken out, it was his right side of his lung and damaged it. He went through surgery, he went through rehab, and he only had about 25% of that particular lung. He said, "My doctor just told me that the right side of my lung is performing at 98%. I want to know what you did to me." And I said, "I didn't do anything." I said, "Jesus healed you." And in that moment, that man's gaze dropped and he began to weep. Now, I tell you that because it's an encouragement to tell you that, look, where we find ourselves. And when we look around the world that we're living in, Christian, when you look around, there are people that are hurt. There are people that are believing really crazy things right now. But as a believer and carrying the mantle of healing and renewal, because you believe in Jesus, because you can bring Jesus into a situation, much like this woman, when she goes into this dream state of hearing the words, "There's no bottom, there's no bottom." And soon she's surrounded in the fullness of the love of God after wanting to take her own life. It's incredible. God is for us. He wants us really to desire more. And that's really, I think, part of the will, the desire to want to have more. So we carry on into the Azusa Street Papers. This is titled, "The Same Old Way." It has been said of the work in Los Angeles that he, Jesus, was born in a manger and resurrected in a barn. Many are praising God for the old barn-like building on Azusa Street and the plain old plank beside which they kneel on the sawdust when God saved, sanctified, and baptized them with the Holy Ghost. Those who know God feel his presence as soon as they cross the threshold. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. This is the Nazareth of Los Angeles. Some have come from long distances to this spot directed of the Lord, and the humble have always been greatly blessed. The work began among the colored people. God baptized several sanctified washwomen with the Holy Ghost who have been much used of him. The first white woman to receive the Pentecost and the gift of tongues in Los Angeles was Miss Evans, who's now in the work in Oakland. Since then, multitudes have come. God makes no difference in nationality. Ethiopians, Chinese, Indians, Mexicans and other nationalities worship together. Pentecostal Faith Line. There are a dozen or more Christian workers who are devoting their time to the salvation of souls having been called of God from other lines of employment to devote in their time, praying with the sick, preaching, working with souls at the altar, etc. We believe in the faith line for Christian workers, and no collections are taken. During the 4 months, meetings have been running constantly, and yet with working day and night and without purse or script, the workers have all been kept well and provided with food and raiment. Workers who have received calls to foreign lands are going out, the Lord providing the means with no needs being presented. The ones that give give as the Lord speaks to them, and do not want their names mentioned. It is a poor time in these last days to hoard up treasures on earth. When the Lord speaks, it is a blessing to those that obey him. But we covet no man's gold, nor silver, nor apparel. A sister who was called to Oakland had her faith tested as to her fare. As the time was near, she had not received it. That night she was caught away in the spirit, and when the Lord brought her back, the words came to her, "If I can carry you around Los Angeles without a body, I can take you to Oakland without fare." So that day, she received the money. Fire falling at Herman. Herman's a small Free Methodist settlement in the hills near Los Angeles, a cottage prayer meeting being held there. The Holy Ghost had manifested his presence in a marvelous way. The church people stand aloof to great extent, but God is overthrowing all opposition. At a meeting recently held in a cottage near the church, one sister was baptized with the Holy Ghost on the front porch. She laid under the power of God for something like 2 hours, praising God and speaking in an unknown language. 2 nights afterward, another cottage prayer meeting. The house was filled to overflowing with people. The meeting lasted until 1 a.m. 5 were baptized with the Holy Ghost. 3 were sanctified. 2 sisters laid under the power of God until after 1 o'clock, speaking and singing unknown tongues. The singing could be heard over the hills. This is stirring the people, and God is going to work in wonders in this place. He recognizes no man-made creeds, doctrines, or classes of people, but the willing and the obedient shall eat the good of the land. In a small church up in Sandstone, Minnesota, yesterday morning, it was Sunday morning, Pentecost Sunday. I want to let you know that there are things that are happening. Always, it seems as though the Lord begins to stir in our hearts, doesn't he? One of the things that began stirring in my heart was a couple of months ago, there was an older man in his early 80s who had come to a worship night at the church. And I thought to myself, seeing this man walk in, I thought, wow, this is a peculiar thing for me to see this man here. I was taking notice of the fact that he was there with his wife and his child. And his daughter was his daughter, not child, but his daughter. And these Friday night worship nights are not heavily followed, really, up in our region. I mean, we've had good nights and slow nights, and we've had where a few people come in, and we've had, you know, maybe 20, 30 people. But on this particular night, there were only about 6 or 7 people. And we began to worship, and we moved into that place, and that's basically what we're doing. We're just worshiping, and we're praising God. And I saw this man who was worshiping and praising, and I had not seen him do this on Sunday mornings. He seemed as though he was a very stoic man. He was kept pretty much to himself. He was I believe him to be a kind of an older kind of farmer type guy. And it was interesting. He was also a builder. He came, he helped build the church when we had added on to the church. And again, this is a very small church. This is a church of, 40 people, maybe 60 on Christmas and Easter. So this man is there, and he showed up. And after we had gone home, I had mentioned to the team members there, I was like, wow, Did you see, let's just call him Jim. Did you see Jim was here tonight? And they were like, yeah, I did see that. And I said, that's very peculiar to me, I said. So the next Sunday, I saw him there. He was in church. And then the following week is what we do is Friday Night Fire, if you're familiar with that. We do that here in the region in Rush City. It's the last Friday of the month. 7 o'clock, you come in, and we do worship and praise, and then we also have a teaching. Doc Nichols does the majority of those teachings, and on that Sunday morning, this particular Sunday morning, this man comes up to me. He says, "Hey, I want to know more about this thing that you're doing down in Rush City." And I said, "Okay, yeah. Well, you know, come on down. How do I get there?" And so I tell him how to get there. Come into Main Street. Go down Main Street, and right before you get to the railroad tracks, we're the last building on the right. You just come in. You'll see a sign out in front. And he says, "Okay." Well, that Friday night, he comes in with his wife and daughter. And I thought to myself, wow, what's going on here? Like, this is, you know, if I want to just move you back for a second, remember, this is a desire for more. That's what we're titling this. This man, 82 years old, has found himself desiring more. His wife is with him. His daughter is with him. He is coming into these meetings. He is in pursuit of something. And I'm telling you that this becomes a catalyst for me to press in, because I'm thinking, Lord, I want revival to come into our region. If you're going to drop revival anywhere, you can drop it anywhere. Would you drop it here? Could it come into this place? Would you grab a hold of the people of this community in this region in East Central Minnesota? Is it possible, Lord, that you could come into this place? So that's the backstory of this man. So this Sunday morning, I'm preaching on a dangerous city. Dangerous. The dangerous city of Jerusalem. That when the captives were set free from Babylon, they were released to build the temple. They come in. They rebuild the altar. They institute worship and praise. It starts to go out. It's starting to happen. The enemy comes in and tries to dissuade and to confuse and to pull people away from this. There are letters that are written to kings saying, look, you can't let this city, Jerusalem, be built. They are bad news for kings. They are bad news for regions. They are rebellious. They will not pay tribute. It is gonna cause havoc in your kingdom if you let these people build. If this happens, they will become very dangerous to us. From there, I rolled that up into the second chapter of Acts, and really the first chapter of Acts 1:8, about power coming in, right? All were gathered together. We've talked about personal Pentecost within this program, American Christian. But that morning, yesterday morning, on Sunday morning, I said, look, we can take our personal Pentecosts and we can all hold our little bucket. But what I want you to do is I want you to step forward. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, come forward. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, come forward. Come into this bucket. Come into this place. And we're going to ask God to come and to baptize us in the Holy Ghost. That man who had brought the spark really into my own spirit, which the Lord allowed me to see what was happening, to press in for more, this man comes forward with his wife and with his child, his daughter. They come in. Everyone came forward. And we received the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. People were being baptized in the Holy Ghost on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday Pentecost morning. It was a beautiful thing. When we had concluded service yesterday morning, that same man, 82 years old, came forward, came to me, and he was weeping. And he was saying, I need more prayer. I need more prayer. I need more prayer. I took him by the hand and I hugged him and I said, let it be so. Your desire for more, let it be so in the name of Jesus. Receive this full baptism. As he was weeping, I whispered into his ear and I said, I want you to know that you were the spark to all of this happening here today. The desire for more, Christian, and knowing that there is a willingness from heaven to earth to ensure that more comes, it is such a beautiful thing. When we move out of our comfort zones, when we move away from our traditions, when we start to prepare our hearts for something different, the Lord says, okay, these are the indicators. And I think that what we want to try to do is we're trying to polish up the vehicle before we bring it into the sanctuary, into the quote-unquote showroom. God's not interested in polished vehicles coming into the showroom. He wants to take the dirt. He wants to take the ashamed. He wants to take those that feel that they don't live up to the things that the enemy is telling him that they've been falling short in. He is looking for people that are willing to set sail into a no bottom, and to fall into the everlasting loving arms of Jesus, to be fully baptized and immersed in the Holy Spirit. Because it is these things, the desire for more and the manifestation of more, that builds the church. One man will bring his wife and sons and daughters. One man can change the trajectory of a generation in a moment. We have to learn to set aside the things of this world and to become in pursuit of things that are wonderfully made. I tell my guys, and I have a few of them in my life, not a lot. I say a few. I tell my guys, look, if you know that there's a place where the Holy Ghost is going to move and come in and do a work, if you know that there is a gathering that's beginning to happen, if you know that the Holy Ghost has been in this place, I would suggest that you go to it. Move to where you know the presence is going to be. I'm not telling you that you can't stay at home and get baptized. I'm not telling you you can't stay at home and be filled with visions and dreams. You can. But I want you to know that the intention of God is to get his people to bring in a congregation of like-minded believers that can begin to overthrow the chains of tyranny. That's what he wants. He wants us to come together and to walk things out. That my desire for more begins to fuel your desire for more. And as I tell you about more, you start to seek and want more. That's what he wants. He wants us to want him. So, American Christian, let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. First of all, that you are the King of the universe, that you are the owner, you are the founder of all things. You are the founder of life. You are the giver of life. You are the one that directs, and you are the one that instructs. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would have your way into these listeners' ears. Lord, that you would build a desire for more. Lord, that their willingness, Lord, within their own spirit, Lord, that it would begin to resonate with the things of your spirit, God. Lord, that they would see and to know, Lord, that you love them. Lord, that you are directing and guiding them into more. Lord, that they would have a desire for more, Lord, that as you stir in their hearts, Lord, as they go into the Word, as they read the Word and become sanctified by the Word, Lord, that you will begin to release in and around, Lord, where they are right now, Lord, to bring revelation. Father, that you would release dreams and visions right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your truth, Lord. Father, I thank you for the spirit of awakening. Lord, that you would wake these people up, Lord, to your plans and to your desires, that you will wake them up to your mandate in the earth. Lord, that you will release the spirit of awakening upon your people, O God. Release the spirit of awakening in our nation. And in this name of Jesus, Lord, we pray this and amen. I want you to decree after me. I want you to say this. I decree that I have eyes to see. I decree I walk in prophetic vision. I decree I see the plans of God. I decree I see the visions of the Lord. I decree I have prophetic dreams and visions. I declare I see the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. I decree I see the plans and the purposes of God. I decree I see with eyes of love and compassion for others. I decree I see God's heart for people. I decree I see nations caught up in revival. And I decree I see the earth being consumed with the burning love of Jesus. I decree that my vision is expansive. And I decree my eyes are anointed to see God's plans. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go in peace, American Christian. Grow in the fire.